Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tune in to SDPB TV tonight at 7 Central, 6 Mountain, or to the Prairie Docs Facebook page for a live Facebook stream of tonight's On Call with the Prairie Doc. And Dr. Rick Holm is with us from the Janine Basinger Studio at SDSU. Hi, welcome. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day to you too, Lori.
So we get to talk about hearts today as a
yes, as and a we're nice, gonna have a heart show tonight. Isn't that fun?
Yes, but a lot happens with the heart, and this is obviously a little more about heart disease. And so when we talk about heart disease, how broad of a conversation is that? Are there different kinds?
Oh,
you know, see what I don't know.
Of course, you know, it's the center for the soul, as the old adage would say. But I mean, have you ever thought why we consider the heart, you know, our soul, the center of the soul? It used to be that they thought it was the liver. So maybe it would be Valentine liver or liver disease or right. Liver consideration. But anyway, yeah. The heart is not the center of our soul. The whole body, all of it, right, is the center of our soul.
Why was it considered to be so important for, you know, in times before we really understood how all the systems work together?
Well, I suppose when people were injured with weaponry there, they immediately died. And I think that may be why it was thought. And, you know, do you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
We couldn't cut on the heart or do surgery to the heart until way later in our experience. It was into the World War II when we really could start working on heart injuries, and it wasn't until they had the heart-lung bypass machine developed by Dr. Lily High at the University of Minnesota that they could take the blood coming from the right side, the veins on the right side, bypass the heart, and then put the oxygenate it artificially, not using the lungs, and then push it back into the aorta and back to the body, so you could bypass the heart and the lung altogether, and empty the heart of its blood and cut on it and do surgery and fix the valves and do a surgical repair on the heart. And it wasn't until they finally figured that cardiopulmonary bypass machine that we were able to really do significant surgery on the heart. That's amazing.
It's like a miracle. And what era was that? What sort of year was that started to
come? After World War II, in the 50s. Sure. I'm pretty sure that's the right.
All right, and we've come a long way since then.
Yes, we have. There, you know, we have heart valve diseases that you inherit, congenital ones that little kids have. You have acquired diseases from the valves, with rheumatic heart disease and conditions like that. And then you have an elderly aortic valve that gets calcified later in life. Those are the major heart valve problems that can make the heart weak. But you can also get the severe heart weakness or heart failure, like they say, and I don't like the word failure here, but heart weakness from coronary artery disease, where the arteries that feed the heart itself are blocked. You know, we don't get oxygenation of the heart muscle from the blood within the heart. The heart has its own blood supply through the coronary arteries. And, you know, it's interesting that the coronary arteries fill during the time that the heart is relaxed. Every other cell in the body is given nutrient by blood when the heart is squeezing. And it squeezes out, pushes out to all the body, and the elasticity of the arteries are there. And then when the aortic valve slams shut, the elasticity pushes the blood back toward the heart, but the valve is shut. But right above the aortic valve are the coronary arteries. And so during the relaxation phase of the heart, diastole, the coronary arteries fill from the elasticity of all the arteries to all of the sites of the body. Oh. It's just the amazing physiology that gets you when you look at the anatomy and the and how it works.
All right, so how do we take care of our heart? What sort of prevention strategies can we live out daily that are going to sort of help us as we age particularly?
I think that there is no question the most important things we can do by far is lifestyle changes. And in order of importance, it would be exercise regularly. Secondly, it would be to eat less, and a balanced diet, of course, but eating less is important. Eggs don't make a bit of difference. And it may well be that fat in the diet is not nearly the concern as maybe carbohydrate. The third issue would be to be connected with people. That's a powerful heart disease preventative. And a fourth issue is not smoking, of course. But nothing holds a candle to a regular exercise program.
You know, we were talking about loneliness earlier in the program and mm-hmm. just the risk that people are realizing that would be. And that kind of reminds me back to when people would say someone had died of a broken heart because there had been, a great sadness or something that had happened and they never seemed to recover. But that kind of also goes to that conversation about that deep connection and maybe even taking care of yourself at some point too.
There is a condition called Takotsubo disease, or the Japanese fishing pot broken heart syndrome, where people who lose somebody that is very dear to them, generally it's a woman who loses their husband, but it can be either sex, and the heart dilates in a weakness in the lower part of the heart, out to the apex, out to the point of the heart. And so what it looks like is an octopus trap. So that, an octopus trap looks like?
I don't think I do.
Well, it's a pot where they put in a bait, some dead fish of some kind, and it has a narrow entrance. So the octopus goes in there, eats the bait, and it becomes too big to get out.
Right.
It's thin, hungry, gets in, eats the bait, can't get out. And that's the dilation of a weakened broken heart. And it can be reversed if you just hang in there and, communicate with friends and get past it. I mean, when you have a loss, you should mourn, but not let it take you down.